Okay, this, the previous slide says where the proposed reserve will be according to the proponent. But what the EA office does not have recorded is that the upper Coldwater Valley is where many pick our huckleberries, gather as a nation to harvest medicines, hunt, and conduct spiritual sessions. This is our sacred land. So, you know, what our next steps will be, we still have to consider. This is what Len Antoine from Coldwater Indian Band. I don't know if you know Grand Chief Gordon Antoine, who was one of the lead fighters for Aboriginal right and title in our nation. One of my favorite sayings from him is, I remember him at a meeting where there was people gathered in support of Aboriginal right and title, and he said, "This is where we hunt, and this is where we fish, on these lakes and these mountains." And that's, we wrote that on a sign, and we carried that sign for all the way from Merritt, and we went on a caravan. We went all the way to the BC legislature, and my daughter Sapphire was 4 years old, and she carried that sign all the way there. But you'll see her in this other picture. But, the memories of being in this area will not be the only thing I want to leave with my children or my grandchildren and those still to come. This land is something that is not intangible, but it is real and always will be real. Progress is not to be costly to those yet to come, nor is it to be the only thing that this generation will leave to the future. This is an elder from Coldwater Indian Band that wrote that in the sign-in book at the camp. We do not inherit this land from our ancestors, but we borrow it from our children. These are my kids that we will not be bought. Strength in Unity. I don't know which one that Brianna's holding, but this was at the AFN Day of Action that was held in May, where we handed out over 1,000 pamphlets. Two people, we just handed pamphlets out to everybody that would block the road, right, and wouldn't let them buy unless they had a pamphlet. Handed over 1,000 pamphlets out in support of the Coquihalla Pass, just informing them about the grizzly bear territory and the wolverine and the cougar and the wolf. They all inhabit those mountains up there, and those are the most ferocious animals that we have in our territory. And that's where they come from, is those mountains. And we should leave those mountains alone for those animals, because I don't know if you know the wolverine, but the wolverine can fight a grizzly bear and win. Grizzly bears, they're huge. Their paws are this big. And they have, I can talk about this too, but I printed out the biogeoclimatic zones for the huckleberry patches, right? And where our medicines grow. And then I did an overlay of the species at risk deck, and we dropped in where the documented grizzly bear habitat was and where the golden eagles are up there. And there's, I think there's three eagles' nests, and there's a grizzly bear den right in their golf course, like right at the corner of their golf course. When I was talking to those guys from Westgate's development, they go, "Oh, we may have to relocate a few grizzly bears, you know, but in the end, how do you relocate a grizzly bear, you know? Even if you put them in Saskatchewan, they'll still come right back to where they were born. Doesn't matter where you put them. I mean, you know, that's probably how they'll relocate them, and, you know, got to save the grizzly bears too, so. If I'm going too fast, if you guys want to ask questions, you know, I'm just not used to doing speeches, and I'm just getting into it, so. But I'll be doing many more, you know, you'll probably hear me doing this, but.
Is that the AFN Day of Action this year? Just in May?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's one on Monday, too. It's the AFN Political Day of Action. If you look up on the AFN website for BC, you'll find out where the protests are going to be in BC.
And
I'm having one in Merritt on Monday, but he doesn't want to come to Merritt and protest with me. But
the RCMP or anybody didn't give you any trouble for?
They were there the whole day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was four of them. And they sent the Indian cops. And no, they were, I don't know. And they were at my camp every day, too, every single day. Even when it was just me and my girls, they'd come up there and they'd sit there. And they liked it up there. And they wrote things in Indian in my book, the Indian cops. But when some of my friends went to take pictures of them, they got like, they didn't, don't take any pictures of me, and they turned in, the cop attitude came out, right? So. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, our land is not for sale. This is some of our elders. This is four generations of the Mike family. And they use the land, and this is all he said, is this is a beautiful place that should be allowed to remain as the Creator intended it to be. natural and free of all man-made influences and impacts. That's his mother right there. She's about 90 years old. We have four of the band elected chiefs are supporting our cause. Chief Tim Manuel has 900 people behind him. Chief Don Moses has 1,200 people behind him. That's where.
No, I'm not in a band.
You're not from Illinois.
I don't consider myself in a band.
Well, part of the Antelikamek Nation, anyways, exactly. And she's from the community, so you know. But this is Chief Tim Manuel of the Upper Nickla Band. He's also a hereditary chief, and we have our hereditary chief from Coldwater, Albert Antoine. Do you support hereditary chiefs?
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay, our ancestral lands are not for sale. They have walked over these lands and hunted and fished and picked berries and medicines. This area was used for spiritual enlightenment. We stand in solidarity against this. You cannot buy a way of life, and you will not destroy who we are. With the help of our ancestors, we will overcome this obstacle. We do not inherit this land from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. That's a quote that I took from him that I used on another slide. But he's a young chief, and these are some of our drummers. There's over 60 drummers here. That's just a handful of our spiritual people from there. You know, when we're hand drum people, we don't usually traditionally use the round drum, but people come in with their round drums and have powwows. But we do winter dances, and we go to the mountains to pray is where we do our spirituality. That's the way it is for us. So. And this is talking about Antelikamek stewardship. When we were up there with the chiefs and the people and the elders picking out where we were going to have our camp, our Kokahela camp, this guy came up and he was following us, and he was flashing his little red light, and he was being ugly to us, so we took his picture. Then he was really nice after that. But we want our own conservation officers, First Nations conservation officers in the Kokahela. Just as part of our own stewardship. So that's Cindy Bond right there. She wanted to come, but she's sick. This is my mom and dad, and they're elders from Coldwater too. And this is my mom always speaks about the bears and the cougars because they need their range. If you take the range, they'll be forever in our backyard. We haven't had anyone mauled yet, like over here, you know. But we don't want it to happen here, and our pristine wilderness is disappearing. We need to preserve what we can. No more cement and pavement. Once it's gone, the wilderness, it cannot be replaced. That's what my mom wrote in the book, and she wrote a lot more. But my mom says, don't lose focus, because a lot of people are going, yeah, Aboriginal right and title, yeah, this and yeah, that, you know. But, you know, the one thing that we have to do is stop this resort in our territory. And then everything else, like Aboriginal right and title, will fall into place after that. But we have to stop this resort first, because once it's gone forever. And then our people will be gone. You know, where are we going to go to pray and, you know, everything that we do in those mountains? So it's more than just Huckleberry Grounds. It's our spiritual enlightenment. It's who we are. It's where we get our ha-ha from, you know. It's... Our Yaya lives up there, and Yaya is a sacred mountain, and that's what we call our grandmothers, is Yaya, and that's where she lives, and that's where Yaya lives. That's just giving you guys an idea of how sacred this land is to us. So, I like to look at this, because then it reminds me a lot more stuff that I want to talk about. This is a picture I took of the mountains last summer or last fall. It's just, that's natural, seeing that's the way it should be. This is Art Sam from Nawaiich. Keep our lands free of resorts and let nature take its own course. And this is Harold Joe. He's a counselor for Lornickla Indian Band. He was up at the camp. He was one of our fire keepers. He was there for, he didn't bring a tent or anything. All he did was sleep by the fire the whole time he was there, and his kids slept by the fire with just blankets, right? And I want to look, if anybody knows, in the 1980s when Bill Bennett said no commercialization along the Kokahela corridor, I want some documents and anything relating to when that premier said that. And I'm looking for, I haven't found it yet, but if you guys could, I'll hand out my newsletters and my emails on there, my phone number, and if you find it, send it to me, because I really want that as part of our power to stop your resort.
People would probably find it if probably some older organizers involved with the anti-expo would probably know, because the
Expo. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He probably said that they're not going to do any development along the highway.
They promised the Independent Nation that there would be no development up there.
Yeah. And there's helicopter logging, and, you know, all that going on along there. I go by bus and you can see it happening. There's a lot of development going on along there.
My PowerPoint isn't quite finished, but he said some beautiful words, and I want to put those in there. And he also made medicine for us at the camp, and a lot of people brought medicine and prayers and food. We got a lot of fish because it was fishing season. We had so much fish we had to send some to get frozen, which was nice. This is one of our camp cooks. She was really good. She cooked a lot on the little budget we had, because everything that we did was by donation. And then there's 50 or 60 people a day at the camp eating three times a day, and there's, you know, adds up, but she did a lot. And there's just some of the people that were there. He's an Aboriginal right and title lawyer, Aaron Sam. He's helping us to stop the resort. We now have a couple more lawyers that are helping us, and the more legal people we have to help with the title and rights is the better, I guess. Kanakabar Camp, this is another camp from the Etlakatlak Nation Tribal Council. That's one of our grand chiefs. Here's the mountain beaver. You guys want to look? This is the mountain beaver. And there are mountain beaver in the Coldwater Valley. Take a look at him. He doesn't look like a normal beaver. They're tiny. They're miniature. But that's the one that stopped the resort in 2005. This is just some of the land here. You can see it's already being clear cut. There's a clear cut there, and there's a clear cut there, and you can see the red. And this is the same picture that I cut out and put in the front. Those are the mountains from a distance. But this is from the Bear Lakes. They call them Murphy Lakes now. This is our land looking from a different angle. Okay, this is Ted Tom Jr., and his dad brought him here as a child, and he's one of six, and he brings his children back. There's not enough left of the way we used to remember it. We can only envision what our great-great-grandparents saw. So that is a sight to behold. Just take, because look at this land. This is our land. This is our backyard. This is what we're trying to save, or stop the resort from coming in. This is Chief John Moses, Francis Doe, just people sitting around the camp. Some of the medicines that we have there, this is an endangered onion plant, I forget what it's called, but there's a lot of endangered plant species along with animals in that area. And if it's only 2.5 hours away, but I mean, it's sacred land, and it should be just left the way it is. I mean, they want it because it's really close and it'll be another Whistler, but, you know, where are the animals going to go? Where are we as Indian people going to go? You know, we have nowhere else to go to. Okay, this is Statlium Support. This is the one she camped. She was the only one to camp at the, you know where Nancy Green wanted to put her resort, remember? She's the one that camped there for 7 years. She never left the camp. She was one of the main people that stopped that resort because she wouldn't let anybody up that road. Yeah, that's the one. So, Strengthen the Nations of the BC Interior. This lady was one of the many in Mount Curry that blocked and camped the road for over 8 years to save their mountains. And Nancy Green got the environmental assessment permit. And she spent a lot of money getting, you know, crossing her T's and dotting her I's. But she walked away because the Indian people wouldn't let her up the mountain, so she didn't build a resort up there. Okay, and this guy's from the Cheyenne Nation. He's from the Stalo. And he came all the way from Fort St. John when he heard we were fighting to save the Coquihalla Mountains, when he heard it on the news that we were having a camp up there to stop the resort. Can you sit down, please, baby? They can't see you. Get up. He came to tell us a very important message from his grandmother, who was 108 years old in 1976, and she took him up to the Anderson Creek Basin and showed him some sacred land up there, and she said this has to be protected. And it was he held that knowledge until just this summer, and then he came and he told us. Were you there when that happened?
No.
But it was really beautiful, because it's more power for us to stop the resort because of those sacred sites that are up there. There's huge things up there that we have to save, right? So, but anyway, he came to tell us that. He said now is the time, and he drove 18 hours to get to our camp to tell us that. In his old van, like a 1974 van, and it made it all the way here, and he did it, and he brought us some fish because he's from Cheam, and then he went all the way back. And he also found arrowheads. He was the only one that found arrowheads at our camp. He was meant to be there, and the ancestors were showing him that he is a warrior that's standing with us. Mm-hmm. Kanakabar came in huge numbers. They're right by the Thompson River, and their trail comes through the Anderson Creek Valley through to the Coquihalla. It's called the Boston Bar Trail, and then there's the Sliomah Trail. And then they go to our valley to trade for horses and to gather for huckleberries, because we're horse people. One of our legends has that the horse was born in one of our lakes, and there's millions of horse spirits there, and when they come out, that's where horse comes from. Right, because people say that the horses came here with the Spanish or whatever. We've always had horses, and there's still wild horses in those mountains, and there's still wild mountain buffalo up there too. So there's a lot of things up there that wild horses. I don't know if they're endangered or not, but we have a lot of wild horses up there too, like bands of horses and like mountain buffalo is up there, and there's a lot of things up there that need to be saved. Like the Sasquatch too needs range too, right? So, these are what's it? Shushup lady. Oh yeah, who was that again?
This lady. Billy.
She came too. She was awesome. She cooked for us too, right over the fire, and she told us stories all night. And she was awesome lady to have up at the camp. She just made herself right at home. And all the elders, other elders were there. That night she was there, there was like about 50 other elders showed up that day too, which was really cool, right? So, and the Shooter family and Pauline Oppenheim's family, they were there with us too. They camped for about 10 days with us. The Trotsky, there's a lot of families that just came up and moved right in. And this is the kids. Here's my daughters. But there were different kids every single day of the camp, and they played on this 100-foot stretch of beach all day long. It's all they did all day long, and my kids were there for 21 days, and they're used to their TVs and their brats and their computers and stuff, but they didn't get tired. They never complained. I was really proud of my kids because it was just the they were packing water here. They worked and they played. And it was all fun for these Coquihalla camp kids, as my girls are packing water there, right? Or getting ready to pack water. Right? And the water is good. It was good, so clean and pure up there. You could drink the water up there. So, and there's their climbing trees. Like, they're about 60 feet in the air in this picture. Those are my girls, But it's just this part of this is our life, right? Up in the mountain. I don't know the name of this guy, but he was at the camp for a long time, and he's really old, and all he did was, it was 120 degrees, because it's a semi-arid desert in town. He was there, and he sat in the sun, and he had this blanket on, and he sat there for 3 or 4 days, and that's all he did was sit at the camp. That's all he did, but he was there with us. That's all he did, so I took a picture of him. He didn't talk either, he just nodded his head. Here's some more of the elders. This is my daughter's great, one of their grandmothers. This is our hereditary chief, Albert Antoine. It's my dad's first cousin, he's from Coldwater. The Cold Water River is and always will be his biggest concern. And it's my dad talking about the water, too. Our water is disappearing. Look at all the ranches. Remember you were talking about all the cattle? There's cattle up there, too. There's lots of cattle. Well, it's a cattle business in the BC interior. Like, there's that one ranch, Douglas Lake Ranch, takes up over 1 million acres of our traditional territory already. And that goes into your guys' traditional territory, too. So, and we don't need more people using what's left. And I was reading some of their stuff from Ecotech, some of their surface flow, whatever, water stuff. 5.5 million liters of water a day, it's supposed to be estimated that they're going to be taking from our watershed a day for this little city on the mountain. Because it's supposed to be holding 15,000 people, 2,200 townhomes, single-family homes, and hotel units, including, like, that's twice the size of Merritt. Merritt's only 7,000 people, and there's already a shortage of water in Merritt. And, you know, this is our high alpine area, and it's already threatened, you know. We need to save what water we have for the animals and for the plant species and for us that live along that river. These are just some of the Sioux people, the Okanagan people. That's part of their sacred land, too. They share the Coquihalla with us. These are just some of the elders that were there. There's a lot of elders up there. It was fun. And this is Shana Daniels from Stony Nation. This is her. She's only like 15 years old, but this is what she wrote. My mom picks berries here. Every year we come down from Alberta. Don't sell the land. That's all she said. But her mother's from Coldwater, but she's married in the Stony Nation, but they still come down. And they pick a lot of berries and huckleberries and husham and blueberries. And they can it and they take it back and they share it with all their people over there. So, you know. And we've been doing that for hundreds and hundreds of years, was coming down and sharing and then coming back. Because if we got married in the plains or up north, we'd always come back and harvest here and then we'd go back to where the communities that we married into. And this is just an example of, we still do that today. Okay. Don't sell us out. This land is our land and not to be sold without the people's consent. And this is just some of the woodpeckers. And this is part of our camp, but they had to go a long ways for dry wood, and they packed it probably at least over a mile to pack wood. There was about 15 guys went up in the mountain with the power saw, and they went way up. Remember, it was way up high, up that ridge, and then they had to go, and they packed it all down, so we had enough wood. And these are just more of the people. Okay, yeah, and this is, I have these posters here, I'll bring them out so you guys can take a look at them, and I have handouts like this talking about the endangered animals just in some of the biogeoclimatic zones, because I'm missing wolves and other animals, because I just pulled David Caswell, who's a animal biologist or whatever they are, I don't know what you call them, but he emailed me all these from one biogeoclimatic zone, and there's the grizzly bears there, the spotted owl, the wolverine, and then there's butterflies too that are also endangered. Something beautiful every day, happened every day at the camp, and this was the day that these people came to release doves in the name of peace at our peace camp, which was really cool. They came up and, you know, I'm half asleep there, but there I am holding a dove. Actually, it's a white pigeon, but, you know, the same thing, eh? But we let them all loose. We let seven of them loose, and they flew up and they aimed right towards the sky, and then they went home, eh? But they flew in a circle around our camp and left. We had medicine people there every day, different people, but one of our main ones did the morning prayers all the time, and when we're all praying, you know, and then we look up, and just as he's feeding the fire, because it's something we do for the ancestors to help us, and this huge golden eagle flew like this far ahead of all our heads, just flew around us, and then it left, but it was power, man. You know, I mean, they're there helping us too, right? And this is Heather Schroeder. She was a elder that stayed with us at the camp she stayed there for 12 days with us. But take care of this land of ours, stay natural forever. We have taken care of this valley for generations upon generations upon generations. and it has taken care of us. My prayers are with all the plants and animals, the water, and the mountains. Hear my prayers. That's what she wrote in the book. She wrote a lot of other stuff in the book. That was one of our medicine men that stayed with us. Okay, international support for the Intlikatlik to stop this resort. These people came with Arthur Manuel. Put their names in. I don't have their names. I have to put them in. But she's an Aboriginal right title area. She's from Sweden or something. Remember her?
Nicole.
Oh, is that his wife?
Okay. I guess. I don't know. I didn't meet her either.
Is that Nicole?
Yeah.
She gave us her cards and she gave us little handouts if we got arrested. Our basic rights. So she was all, give us a call if you get arrested, but we never got arrested. This is another one of our herder, our Chukpis, hereditary chief. And he has the original map of the Intlikatlik territory from 1840. That's what we're looking at here with Arthur Manuel. And there was a lot of awesome things came out during the camp that people wouldn't share with a lot of other people. You shoved us in a small corner, now you want that too. That's what Janice Sheena said. And I'll probably end with that and take questions, I guess. But this is just talks about the Friends of the Coquihalla. The proponent cannot proceed without an environmental assessment, and that's what we're going to work to stop them in their tracks. Here's my daughter. That's my daughter carrying that sign. In memory of Grand Chief Gordon Antoine, this is where we hunt. And this is where we camp, on these lakes and these mountains. And this goes into Aboriginal right and title or economic development. And it's time to affirm title and rights to the land. And then this is where I get into more Aboriginal right and title issues. But do you guys want to hear about it? Or are you guys okay with it? Because I can. Okay, the people of the Stewik, the Intlikatlik Nation, need to discuss these lands, the five Nikwa tribes. Mm-hmm. And this is talking about the Nikwa tribes is not related to the band process. It's the Nikwa tribes is the Stewik is who we are, the Intlikatlik. And the communities are Upper Nikwa, Lower Nikwa, Shack in the Wyatch and Coldwater. And we've used these lands since time immemorial. There needs to be respect and proper protocol in regard to land being developed in our territory. Intlikatlik unity. This is talking about gathering all 7,000 people together in united force to save the land, and this is what we're working at now as grassroots people. This is what we're working for. Because the chiefs will never get together. I mean, they never will, but the people. If we can get 7,000 people together and I think we've got apparently or lots, I don't know, 1,200 people. I've got definite affirmations from that they want to save the Coquihalla. That's just the grassroots people, not the monkey mucks saying. But because when it comes to Aboriginal right title, when you sign a treaty, everybody has to vote on the treaty, right? And the way the process is now is asked backwards because the chief speaks for the people. And the chief in our community doesn't speak for the people. He speaks for himself and his money. Yeah. And that's what's wrong with the process now. Because he's with the proponent over here, and there's a circle of consultation, you know. And there's the public comment, the First Nations comment, the proponent, the local government, the national government, and the provincial government. And he's sitting here with the First Nations talking for us. Meanwhile, he's sitting over here with a proponent, and they've already gave him. It said there's over $1.5 million missing from the main agreement, which is why he's already bought and sold. And he can't quote me on that either, because I have that on tape too. When Melville and the provincial governments from Ministry of Tourism said that there's money missing from there, but that's why the chiefs are bought and sold, and that's why they don't speak for us, and that's what's wrong with the process. He's speaking for himself, not for the people. You know, can't be in two corners at the same time. And that's why we have to stand united to review and make decisions over all these land transactions that are going on in the traditional territories of the Intlikatlik Nation, because united we stand, divided we fall, right? And and this is just talking about the cougar lynx and other species that inhabit these lands. They're running out of places to live. And where are they going to live if they're pushed out of these lands? Because, you know, you get to Hope, and then you get to the top of the Coquihalla, and then you're in Merritt, and that land is, it's sacred land, it's pristine wilderness, and that's where they live, and we should protect it for the animals, you know, for if not for anything else. And this is just where the grizzly bear habitat's in British Columbia here. And this is from the Species at Risk Tom website. I don't like that one. The big developers and others come in and see this land as money and as property. And we as the First Nations see it as our backyard and as our spiritual and physical strength. It's more than just where we hunt and fish and berry pick. It's where we do a lot of our prayers, and it's who we are. Yeah. This is just talking about how the environmental assessment process is still backwards, and this is where we need to make changes. Like, people like you can help by getting a hold of your local MP or MLA or whoever, somebody that you know to... Proponents get the first contact with the province, and then we are consulted about what the multi-million dollar investors have picked out on a map. I mean, why can't we, you know, why do they get first choice of our traditional territory, and, you know, we're just getting run right over, and we don't want to let that happen anymore, because, I mean, a lot of treaties have been signed here, like the Tawasin Treaty and other treaties, but you know what, there's no more land really left in the Lower Mainland for the Indians to protect, in my mind. And in our traditional territory, you know, there's only 7,000 people in Merritt, and there's only 60,000 people in Kamloops, and you know how many people in Seminar. All that land is still ours. It's still natural, it's still wild and free. And that's why we don't sign treaties, because that's our land still, right? We have something to fight for. Where am I here? Okay, yeah, this is... Where am I? Okay, resistance can turn into enthusiasm and understanding with education. There's a lot of ignorant white people out there, but, you know, if we start educating them, resistance will turn into understanding with education, and that's why we have to start educating the people. Okay? Aboriginal right and title of Crown land or Intlicumic land, I have to change that, simply means that we have to respect one another, recognize the different qualities in one another, and be responsible to not only each other, but the land and resources of BC. First Nations throughout BC are united in one common cause, the collective Aboriginal right and title to territorial claims on lands and resources. The First Nations people of BC over resources will again be leading the provincial and federal governments through the litigation process, which means we're all going to be going to court again over the Coquihalla. We have a lot of lawyers already on our side. We've got a lot of papers flying back and forth. And if we have to hold up Westgate's development for another 20 or 30 years, well, then we're going to do that. You'll still see me there, and you'll see my girls and my son. Or, you know, that's why they've been to every single meeting with me. So they're being trained to take my spot. Like, I'm taking my mom's spot, because she fought a lot in the 70s, but she did it for different things like women's rights and stuff. But this is what we have to fight for now, is our land. And we'll still be there in 20 years fighting them if they're still going to try and take our land, because, you know, they can't, you know. Okay, the federal and provincial governments have done nothing in support of the Delegamink decision or the Chillicothe decision. These are landmark cases in BC that says we have Aboriginal right and title. Okay, the Chillicothe decision was about title, okay, and the Delegamink decision was about rights. We have a right to that land, the Delegamink decision said. The Chillicothe decision says we have title to that land. Title means that we still own that land. The Chillicothe decision was the first case, and it took over 25 years for them to get to that stage. That's why I'm saying we're going to be doing this for another 30 years. And they won half of their traditional territory by title. All that Crown land in the Chillicothe case, they got over 200,000 hectares of it. So, see, that's what we're saying is we could do the same thing. I mean, why just let them take it? I don't want to let them take it. I mean, you know. Okay, and AOA, that's an archaeology overview assessment and a traditional use study. An AOA and a TUS is what the proponent has, and that's what he uses the First Nations people to get what he wants through an AOA and a TUS. They tell him, we'll protect this and protect that. And they don't, you know, they'll just say that they did it and they consulted and they take it away anyway. That's why I say an AOA and a TUS are just snapshots of our traditional use on the land. Use of the land is our right as Intlakatlan. It doesn't matter what the AOA or the TUS says, right? Any environmental assessment should not be regarded as the identity of our culture, but a snapshot indication of our overall land occupation and land use of every plant and animal life. That's just talking about the environmental assessment process and how they use our people to get what they want. Intlakatlan Nation traditional territory includes the Upper Coquihalla Pass resort lands. And this is all Intlakatlan land in the BC interior should remain as Intlakatlan land. I put crown in there, but I'm not supposed to change it. And then this is me and my daughter at a title and rights camp. And it's just unity. And this is what are we going to do now? What's our next steps? We held a meeting. We had a Coquihalla Pass Forum, and there was over 450 people from our nation showed up on that night. We had a camp, and over 700 of the Intlakatlan Nation showed up at that camp. And people say when one person shows up, there's 10 more people that want to be there. So if there was 700 people there, and we have 7,000 people in our nation, then every one of them wanted to be there. In my mind, that's what I think, you know. And then photo collage, I don't know, other things that we're going to do. And that's my Friends of the Coquihalla. To get on the newswire, to volunteer, to provide a funding donation, contact Friends of the Coquihalla, Public Relations Officer, Dolores Charters. We don't make any money off of this, so you guys could chip in for my gas. I don't get paid for this. I'm just standing up as one of the people to speak, you know. So that's my presentation, and I hope you guys join the cause.